Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, John's Gospel Again, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about John's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through John, even though I read through John in 2020. The world has changed, I've changed, and so I expect my wonderings will have changed as well. Since I last wondered about John, I've also wondered my way through, jeepers, all the Gospels, the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, a couple of Paul's letters. Yeah, a lot has changed. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to what I said over 2 years ago, but I am looking forward to hearing what I say now, or more importantly, what I think God may be saying now. I want to thank Drew Winters for the music, and you for joining me as we wonder about this amazing and challenging gospel. I will do my best to keep these wonderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while, we may go a couple minutes long because it's that kind of gospel. And you should know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wondering, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley, or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church in Ontario. So, let's see what John's Gospel has to say today. And we sort of should have been done yesterday. We finished off John chapter 20 yesterday. And it ended Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these were written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. It doesn't say the end, but you can hear it, right? Like it's, boom, there it is. It's over. And yet then comes along another chapter. So chapter 21, and that's what we're going to jump into today. It's chapter 21, and we're going to stretch this chapter for 4 days so that we'll move into Mark next week. But so we'll wrap up on Friday. So it's John 21, 1-8. Now, as I say, the gospel seems to be over, the end, and we've added a piece. There are those who think that somebody else added this. It's not that we have earlier examples of John's gospel without this ending. It's just they figure before it got out into the world, somebody added a chapter. There are those who think that John just felt, oh, just one more thing. There are those who wonder whether John was going senile and forgot that he had ended and just sort of added another story. I don't know. What I know is for a couple thousand years we've had chapter 21. And it's a fascinating story, and it's definitely worth wondering. And seeing as John was never concerned with chronology and history, what does it matter when this was added or by whom? It just, it's an opportunity to wonder. At least that's how I approach it. So anyway, let's see what you think. So John 21, verses 1 through 8. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said, "We'll go with you." They went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and then you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. We'll stop there. There's more, but we'll leave it go right there. So like I said, so much for us to wonder about which, you know what I mean. There's a lot to wonder about. And the thing that we always wonder about, at least as a kid I did, and I still wonder about it today, or I know people do. So Peter put on his clothes to jump in the water and swim to Jesus. Huh. Yes, that's exactly what he did. Because he was fishing naked, which is not uncommon. It's also possible that he was simply fishing in, like, his shorts. He had his shirt off. You don't know whether we're talking about not wanting to get netting caught or having it tear things or get wet. Although, clearly, if you put your clothes on and jump in the water and swim in them, you don't care about getting wet. But the thing is that Peter was working, whether he was wearing shorts or he was naked or whatever. So he just grabs his clothes, and the easiest way to swim with them is just to put them on and get to Jesus. That's the important thing. He wants to get to Jesus. It's not as weird as it sounds. And I have never heard anybody unveil any kind of special meaning to this. That's like, oh my goodness, that unlocks the whole thing. Now I get it. So I'm just going to leave it there and note it. I mentioned that there are people who think that, you know, that John might have been senile, or someone else wrote this, or John wasn't happy with his own writing and just felt, no, I got to add another story. That's all possible. Boy, do we take it seriously. I have heard people argue about whether or not Peter should have gone fishing. That by going fishing, he is disobeying Jesus. And others say, no, he's doing exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said to come to Galilee. Well, if you're going to go to Galilee, what are you going to do? Well, we called it here the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Roman name, but it's the Galilean Sea. It's the Sea of Galilee. So is Peter doing something wrong? Is he not doing something wrong? Maybe. I don't know. Hard to say. But all of this feels so very, very literal. And then I just listened to the story. So a bunch of the disciples are gathered. Most of them. We can name some of them exactly, and then there's like two others. Lucky them, they don't get a name. And Peter says, I'm going to go fishing and we'll go with you. They say, so they go out at night, as you do, just after daybreak. So I want you to imagine daybreak. You're out in the Sea of Galilee. You're a good 100 yards from shore. It's misty, right? You know, there's that fog that's lifting off the water. And there's somebody over there on the beach. But remember, this is 100 yards away. And you sort of see them, but you can't tell who they are. But you hear them coming through the mist, coming through the fog. You hear this voice, children, you have no fish, have you? And not to be pedantic, but I really don't like that translation a whole lot. Children sounds very much like Jesus announcing that he's Jesus. Whereas I think a better translation of that word would be like, hey, guys. The word's paideon, which is what you refer to people that you're on a team with or people you work with. They're your buddies, your guys, your lads, you know. So we're out in the boat, the fog off in the distance, that misty morning, you know, half awake, half asleep that time of day, even though you've been working all night, you know. You hear a voice come out of there, it says, hey, guys, you don't have any fish, do you? No. Cast the net to the right side of the boat, you're going to find some. Does that story sound familiar to you? Because I remember Jesus calling the disciples that very way. Calling from the shore and giving them advice on how to fish. And they cast their nets on the other side and they caught more fish than they could ever imagine. And that's when they left and followed Jesus. Right? And that was Peter. and James and John and Andrew. And so what if, I wonder, what if John's telling us about a dream he had, or maybe a dream that Peter had and he told him about it? Everything's gone on. We've seen Jesus. We've seen Jesus in our grief. We've seen Jesus in our fear. We've seen Jesus in our mistrust. We've seen Jesus in our confusion. We have seen Jesus. Why wouldn't we also be seeing Jesus in our dreams? And this sounds so much like a dream to me. I'm 61 years old. I still dream every now and again about high school. I'll have a dream when I'm in high school, and some of the people there, I know them right away. Oh my gosh, there's Jeff, and there's Yolanda, and there's so-and-so. They're right there in my dream. They're so real in my dream. And then there's other people. I don't know who they are. They're just other people I go to school with. There'll be like details. It'll just like, it's like I'm looking down, and I'm wearing blue shoes. Where did I get blue shoes from in my dream? Oh my God. Or much to Peter's point, I'm in the history class and I'm getting up to do a presentation and oh my God, I'm naked. I forgot to wear clothes to class. And I go running out. I'm so embarrassed because Jeff and Yolanda and Bob, they're all laughing. And I know that dream. Am I the only person who knows that dream? So let's say it's John who has a dream. And he dreams that they're back doing what they used to do, fishing. Same way I used to go to high school. I have university dreams too. I have other dreams. But, you know, he's dealing with all of that anxiety and excitement and fear and all the things that have happened in the last little while. His dreams are catching up with him. And so he's dreaming, oh, it's like we're fishing again. I'll remember that. And that early morning, that is for me, that is that liminal space that I'm kind of asleep, I'm kind of awake, I'm kind of asleep. I hear voices, but I can't really see clearly. Oh, yeah. And, oh, there's that familiar voice. Hey, guys, you didn't catch anything, did you? That sounds familiar. No. Throw your nets out to the other side. Holy crap, Peter. It's Jesus. And then I see the details of Peter just leaping in because that's what Peter does, right? Remember, Peter and John ran to the tomb. John told us that in the gospel. And John got to the tomb and didn't go in, and Peter, boom, went straight in. So here's John on the boat going, oh my God, that's Jesus. Peter, it's Jesus. And Peter, just like he rushes into the tomb, throws his clothes on, jumps into the water, and swims straight there. This is a dream for me. This makes perfect sense to me as a dream. I'm not saying you have to read it that way, but oh my goodness, does that ever feel like a dream? Bits of the past with bits of the present and just all intermingling as I am trying to make sense of the risen Christ. And the ministry that I'm now being called into, imagining that I'm John or Peter or any of them, right? And of course, discovering it is the Lord. It is. Of course it is. So I have to wonder, is this a gospel that invites me to take my dreams seriously? Which doesn't mean I have to take sort of my dreams as gospel to say, well, I had a dream about this, so it's going to come true. As much as I can recognize that God speaks to me in dreams, that there is no part of my life where I don't engage with God, there's no place where God can't meet me. God can meet me anywhere. In my dreams, in my reality, in my grief, in my fear, in my all of those things. For me, this is a lovely story about a dream where everything starts to just come together. So yeah, John may have finished his gospel And as soon as he finished it, he had a dream. And he got up the next morning and went, oh, man. God, that dream was so real. I got to write that down. Why not? And it interests me that I rarely hear people talking about this as a dream. Whereas for me, it just seems so obviously a dream. And maybe I dream differently than other people, and maybe I'm missing a big thing. But I rarely hear people talk about this as if it could be a dream. And if it's a dream, that also makes sense to me. That John writes a gospel, makes his point, and says, by the way, there you go, that you might believe and have life in Jesus' name. That's why I've told you these stories. The end has a dream and goes, I got to include the dream. And tacks it on at the end. And if it is a dream, what does the dream tell us? That God sees us and knows us. That Jesus finds us. That the things we have done in the past are part of who we are. So many possibilities. But for me, mostly, it's that Jesus, God, finds ways to speak to me. Ways that are as direct as the way you and I are speaking right now, and ways that aren't always as direct, but come in as if in a dream. And it's okay to pay attention to those dreams, to ask, so what's going on in this dream? I have friends in a variety of indigenous communities, and I'm thinking of a friend in particular. They're an indigenous person, and they were being considered for a, I want to say principal, but we'll say so we'll just sort of chief overseer of a spiritual educational institution. And they went for the interview. And the interview took place, I believe it was over 3 days. So they're there the first day, and they met, they talked, there was food, there was every, you know. The next morning, part two of the interview comes. And the first question was, what did you dream about last night? because the elders, the ones who are doing the interview, take seriously what happens in our dreams, recognizes that Creator does speak to us in dreams, that we bring a lot of different things together in our dreams. Our imagination runs free in our dreams. Our memories impact us. We don't just shut them down. Our feelings are there. and God is there. The Holy is there. When we let it be, which doesn't mean we also don't have silly dreams that make no sense. But there is a time to embrace your dreams. And so, my friend, that's exactly what they asked of them. I said, you know, what did you dream about? And they talked about dreams. And the next day, first question of the day, what did you dream about last night? Because dreams matter to them. I was raised to dismiss dreams as silly things. They're fun. They're entertaining. Perhaps maybe you're one of those people who can work very hard at directed dreams, and so you can in a sense control your dreams. You can be aware that you're in a dream and enjoy that. Maybe you're one of those people, but I would suggest that the author of this gospel, who I continue to call John, I think that he believes that dreams are another way that God speaks. And that the engagement in dreams is also holy. And I think he gave us a dream. At least that's what I'm thinking right now. But I realize I'm now sort of going into an argument like I'm trying to convince you of this. So, yeah, I am probably a little bit. Because I do feel strongly about it. But I feel strongly what I feel strongly about is that when I think of this as a dream, it says a lot to me. It says a lot to me about the way that God speaks, the way that God engages in my life. And it says a lot to me about these followers of Jesus, these disciples, these apostles. And we're going to hear more about them as the dream goes on. But it's interesting who's there. Peter's there. Thomas, you know, I'm a big Thomas fan. Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. We don't hear a lot about him usually, but maybe because, well, we're in Galilee. Sons of Zebedee, well, they were there from the beginning. And two of his disciples, whoever they may be. Yeah. It's a dream. We're meant to take it seriously. But I'm going to leave it there with you. So let me offer a prayer and stop just talking in circles, shall I? Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for dreams. Thank you for the wondering that happens just as we sleep, just before we wake. God, let us embrace this wondering. Let it speak to us. And God, let it inspire us to always be wondering, wondering about your presence, wondering about your word. God, we ask that all that we have shared today, all that we've imagined today, we ask that all of it help our faith become not only broader, but deeper. May our wondering bring us closer to you. We pray in the name of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And that'll be it for me today. You probably know what I'm doing tonight. Yeah, kind of a Leafs thing. But anyway, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Whether my team wins or not, doesn't matter. I'm going to be here tomorrow reading the gospel and being really glad of it. So I hope you can join me. And we'll hear how this dream or story progresses. Until I get to see you, God bless you. Please know that God sees you and loves you exactly as you are for your waking hours and your dreams. And please know that God's love moves through you into the world in amazing ways. The world is different. The world is better because of you. So God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.